Okay. Welcome, everyone, to OA Footsteps speaker meeting. We normally would be dedicating this to various meetings found on our meeting schedule each week. But today, we are actually highlighting the virtual intergroup of OA Footsteps from its inception to where it is today. We have two speakers lined up today to share their story, experience, strength, and hope, and also provide a little information about how OA Footsteps came into being and where we are now. And this will be followed by a Q&A period. So I'm the first speaker. There we go. I need a timekeeper. Would somebody be willing to be my timekeeper?
I can do that, Alex.
Amy, thank you so much. If I could get a timer at 5 minutes and then at 12 minutes, that would be great. I'm going to be speaking for 14 minutes in total, and then our lovely Colin will be speaking right after me. So there we go. Thank you so much. Okay. And I guess I have to do this, which I don't want to do, but and I meant to do this before, but I forgot for the last meeting I did this. There we go. Hi. Okay, so today is the 469th day of OA Footsteps, which is kind of cool. I counted it out or calculated it out. It's my 723rd day of abstinence and being in program. So I'm really lucky to be able to say that for 65% of my abstinence, I've had footsteps. I've had it this whole time. I'm so grateful. And a bit nerdy, you might have noticed I've got a fondness for math here. Because I actually kind of believe that I'm an equation. I believe that the universe inherently is mathematical. You could hear me say often that I think it's the language of angels, of music, of art, nature. And through this program, I'm seeking to solve this problem, this my own recovery, or I'm seeking to have something greater than myself solve the equation on my behalf. And that's absolutely what's been happening since I came here. It's only 8 days until my second anniversary in OA. And when I first arrived here, I was desperate. I was depressed. I was suicidal. I was actively planning my own death with food. I kind of knew that in my head. And when I finally started hearing what I was saying, I suddenly realized something was really tragically wrong with how I was approaching life. I was diabetic, along with a whole host of other chronic conditions. I've actually been socially isolated since 2009 because of acute environmental illnesses. And my future was bleak. I had nothing to look forward to. I had no hope. I was alone. I was very limited in my resources and people around me. So I have to admit, 723 days ago, I came here and I was desperate for anything. And I was so willing to admit how powerless I was and how unmanageable my life had come. And my very first day in program, I immediately gave up my trigger foods. Just like, I knew what they were, and I've never had them since, not once. It's just, they're gone from my life altogether. Within days of giving up those trigger foods, I gave up eating between meals. And I have to say that was probably one of the hardest areas of my recovery was in the months that followed. Because eating was how I managed my pain. And whenever I felt pain, I ate. I literally medicated myself with food. So when I wasn't able to medicate my physical pain anymore with food, I had to suffer pain. The only way out was through. I remember when my very first fibro flare came over me in my first few weeks of abstinence, how utterly terrified I was having to experience physical pain without any recourse in food. I graduated to a full out food plan, probably about 6 to 8 weeks in, I was talking to my diabetic clinic, dietitian, doctor, doing my research, getting food switched over in my house and things like that, until finally, so I finally started a whole new food plan where I gave up all white sugars, all white carbs, all high fructose fruits, all high carb vegetables, like just really sugar was my main absolute one I had to get rid of. 3 months after that, I was off of all my insulins. And 3 months after that, I was off of all of my diabetic medications. And to this day, I'm still managing my diabetes entirely with food choice. So I attended online meetings, a text-based chat when I first started. It was with alongside with my face-to-face meetings that I tried to get to. And it was valuable to me from the start. I because the pain was such a trigger for me, it was really hard to navigate my days without some sort of support in place. So, I mean, the text-based meetings, I could go to 4 to 7 of them in a day, whereas my face-to-face was only once a week, and it just wasn't enough to get me through those horrible moments. I started to help lead meetings. I was working steps, connecting with fellows. And I went through a number of temporary sponsors at the start. It was kind of hit or miss for me from my first year. I'm so fortunate now to be blessed with the most amazing sponsor on the planet. I know there's a lot of amazing sponsors out there, but I'm particularly fond of mine. but I was willing to do anything to get my feet into the recovery. But I soon discovered physically I couldn't continue to attend face-to-face meetings. I would just get too sick. I would go to a meeting and then I would collapse for days afterwards. And then just as I was sort of getting my foothold back up again, I'd go to another physical meeting and I'd collapse. And it was just this, and it was just depleting me and depleting me and depleting me. And finally I had to say goodbye to my face-to-face groups and broke my heart. So I threw myself into online meetings, text-based, typing, and became very good at leading those meetings. I loved it. It was really fun. But then we discovered Zoom, and me and a couple of other fellows decided that we would try a Zoom meeting just to see what this was like, right? And we'd gotten to know each other so well without ever seeing each other. So we sat in this meeting for the first time on Zoom and saw each other's faces and just cried. We cried and cried and cried. And that was on April 14th. 2014, and that was 469 days ago today. And the meeting was lovely. We just sort of pieced it together as we went along. We decided to read from Voices of Recovery that day, just random, and we read it out loud. And that was the reading that we read at the beginning of this meeting about footsteps, OA footsteps, and leaving footsteps for those to follow, and following the footsteps of those that have come before us. And I said to the girls afterwards, I said, oh my God, that's the name of this meeting. Thank you. So many people have asked, how did OA footsteps start? Well, that was the moment. And it wasn't that we started anything. It was just something organic that grew from a vision that we were truly blessed with that day. I really don't believe that we started anything. It's just been this growing organic thing that we just sort of, we're walking, we've got a vision of people have come before us. OA provides all the tools that you need to start a meeting, to start an intergroup. And through the course of that, we start to learn the value of our own experience, strength and hope and what we have to give back. And absolutely, a lot of hard effort went into all of this, still goes into all of this every day. And it was a very steep learning curve. I mean, I had no idea how to even start a meeting 469 days ago, much less how to start an intergroup. I mean, it was like, it was by the seat of our pants. We just barely kind of did that. But somehow, you know, we got through it, you know. And today, when I checked the numbers earlier this morning, we have in the report pages, I don't see names, but I see numbers, which appeals to me. We have over 375 users in OA Footsteps every single day. We have almost 60 meetings per week, more starting all the time. I think there's about 5 or 7 or so on the boards right now that are kind of in the holding pattern before they land. We have a dozen, at least a dozen, I think there's maybe more now, 12-step workshops that are going on in the background, and we hope to get that started again. We're taking a little hiatus because we've got so many groups on the go right now. But we'll keep that going, because especially for people that don't have sponsors, that's been a really invaluable tool for them. We have over a dozen WhatsApp groups and a Facebook group as well. You know, we're 24/7, people can reach out. And our numbers are swelling. There is more coming in all the time, and it's just such a blessing. We were just in the right place at the right time when COVID hit. We didn't have to scramble to try to get our meetings online. We were already established, and our doors were just wide open to newcomers. And I think that that's been one of the blessings of this pandemic, is seeing how many compulsive eaters that we've been in a position to help, to be there, to provide service, to create an avenue so that nobody has to be alone as we socially isolate. You know, I haven't felt isolated since this 469 days ago. And we continue to grow. And also, you need to know, we are going to be here long after this global crisis ends. We're not going anywhere. We are a virtual intergroup. And I'm so pleased to say we are now fully official. We are a fully functioning intergroup. We have a virtual intergroup committee comprised of meeting representatives from all the different meetings. We have positions available too, if you're interested. I think this meeting needs one of mine needs a rep. We have a full set of operating bylaws in place, and that was no easy feat. I know people worked really hard to make that happen. We have a website that's updated daily with all the new activity going on, and we've got a really dedicated team of people that are working in the background to revamp the site even as we speak, like wonderful things happening there. We have committees for newcomers, sending out literature and welcome coins to people new for free. We have a literature committee that will send out books for those that can't afford to buy literature for themselves when they first start into recovery. We have a sponsor committee for connecting sponsors and sponsees. We've got milestone committee. If you have a milestone coming up, email our milestone committee and they will send you a chip to recognize that milestone. We have meetings of every type. And okay, so I still have a few on my wish list. Talk to me if you're interested. But I am just so happy to see the diversity and the growth that's taken place, and just how the wealth of experience, strength, and hope is being shared through those meetings. We have the dozen non-real-time meetings, which helps our fellow sufferers 24/7. So there's always someone you can reach out to in a virtual realm on our WhatsApp or Facebook groups. We're providing training for new leaders to lead meetings. Thank you so much. Perfect. And we also have a new security team, because being in a virtual realm, unfortunately, we deal with some disruptors and not so pleasant characters that might find their way onto our boards. And so we've got new security protocols going in all the time to keep our meetings safe. So there's so much more. I could go on about that forever. But it's wonderful, because as members join us and come forward with ideas of service that they'd like to provide, we just continue to grow and thrive as a community. And I'm so grateful to each and every one of you. So many hard efforts have gone into this to make this a success. But I think it's more than the hard work that made this a success. I believe that from the very first day that we were blessed with a vision that has guided us all. It's like the greatest tool of all was being given a path to follow. And the footprints of those who've come before us and the vision from that reading that day, that's why I feel we're here, all of us, every single one of us. I am so incredibly grateful to each and every one of you that are here today, that you were here when I first entered OA, and learning that I had something of value to share with my fellows, and that my fellows were willing to give freely of themselves as we learned and grew along this path. And I'm so grateful that I'm no longer alone, and that what we do here today, every single one of us leaves an imprint for those to follow behind us. We're part of something so much greater than ourselves. And that is the dream that built this virtual intergroup. And that's the dream that each of you helped us build. And I just think, what a legacy for us to leave behind us. I'm just so blessed. Thank you. And with that, I would like to pass this meeting over to our newly voted in chairperson. This is our lovely Cullen. Cullen, the floor is all yours. And just let us know what you'd like to be timed. How would you like to be timed?
Thank you so much, Alex. I have about five minutes. Is that right? Five to seven. Amy, are you still okay timing?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Would you just tell me when it's been 5 minutes?
Okay, at 5 minutes, are you starting at 12?
And then I'll wrap. I think I'm just doing 7 minutes or so. So I'll wrap up around five. But if you tell me when it's been five. Thank you so much. Hi, I realize I didn't introduce myself before, but my name is Cullen. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic, and I'm so excited to be here today, and I'm nervous. It's weird. I've been living in Mexico City, and I'm back home for a while, and context, right? It makes your body feel different. So I think the amazing thing about this program is that I can just say that and it's okay. I don't need to run away or pretend it away. I can just acknowledge it and like, okay, all right. Oh, my video's been highlighted. And it made my face big, but hi. I think, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking about the capacity for change that this program has brought into my life, because I came in almost 2 years ago to the rooms, and what it was like for me is that I've been really struggling with bulimia for many years. It was really violent, and overwhelming and consuming. And that's what my life was. It was getting food. It was throwing up food. It was restricting food. It was then fuck it. It was like, is anyone going to see, am I going to be able to hide it from everybody? That's all. And then this deep belief that I was broken, that I wasn't enough, that I was a monster, that I was a piece of shit, you know, and that I was going to be alone for the rest of my life, and it was going to be my fault, and I was going to deserve it. And so that's kind of walking around with that. And then it would come out as like, oh, well, I need to prove that I'm okay. I need to trick everybody. So I was, you know, I seemed great. I was at a 4.0. I was president of, you know, every club and committee, and but none of it felt good or like I could offer anything. It was more like I'm safe and things are okay. And when I was binging and purging or compulsively eating, it was like everything got quiet. If I wasn't doing that, it was like my brain was on fire and my skin was on fire, and I wanted to crawl out of my skin, and I hated my body so much, and I just couldn't be where I was. And it was really desperate. And what happened first is I got a great therapist when I was in college, and I was able to put down the bulimia, but the compulsive eating was still really present in my life. And it's like, I was okay if I wasn't in it, but if that switch got flipped, I could not get out of the food. I would be back and forth from my couch to the cabinets all day. I wouldn't go out. I would lie to everybody. And, you know, people sometimes say like, I would call into work fat. It's like, that's been 5 minutes already. Whoa. Jesus.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I misunderstood. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Okay. I was like, wow, time went really fast. I'll speed it up though. But that's what it was. It was like, that was when things were quiet. And when I wasn't in the food, I was terrified and in a lot of self-hatred. And when things were quiet, I would feel okay. But I started seeing somebody, and we had a serious relationship, and I was going to move in with him. And I knew that when I did that, suddenly there would be, I couldn't hide it forever. You know, I couldn't like go to my room and compulsively eat. There would be someone around me. And I knew that it would drown our relationship. And I actually cared about this person. So in a way, people pleasing, you know, kind of saved me. It's like, I want this to be okay. So thank God for movies and people who'd been in AA in my life. So I knew that this was a trusted program, and I believed that it could help me. And I remember walking into a room, and it's so cheesy, but like, it was warm and the sun was coming in and people were so happy and they knew each other and they had friends. And I absolutely believed like, no, I won't. I can't be one of those cool kids, you know. But then you keep coming back, and those things start to be in your life, and you build the relationships. And I didn't get a sponsor right away. I was I had to sit for a while. I had to get desperate, and it was the best thing that could happen to me because I had to realize there was no one in my life that I could look to who had a healthy relationship with food or with their body. It wasn't something that I'd ever learned how to do. And there's just tools I didn't have, and I didn't know anyone I could reach to. And I had to be in that desperate space of, I can't fix this myself. I need someone to help me. And when I shared on that, it resonated with somebody, and I was actually open, and someone reached out and she became my sponsor and really taught me how to be gentle, loving, and kind, that I didn't have to have perfect food right away every single day. It's not about proving that I'm good by eating well. It was about really understanding, what am I doing? Like, what's going on? What am I feeling? And practicing being where I am and just getting into my body and not having to run away, building that tolerance for discomfort and love for myself and cultivating a relationship with a higher power. And so I didn't need my brain to turn off. I didn't need to be numb to everything. I could be in it, and I could practice. And if I had an off day and if it didn't go well, that was okay. Like I just got to keep coming back. And that was important for me. I can binge on any food. So it was much more about, for me at first, putting down busyness. I was just so compulsively busy, I couldn't be where I was. And so slowing down and letting things go and realizing I can't do everything all the time for everybody. I need to just show up where I can. What is my side of the street? Staying over there. And there's so much to learn. It was really intimidating as a newcomer. So I'm really happy that we're going to have time for questions, because it's a lot. But we get to keep coming back. You know, the meetings are still here and you get to go to a ton of different meetings. I'm so happy that OA Footsteps has meetings 7 days a week, but there are tons of other ones and I've got recommendations, and it's just really about just hearing the message. But what was amazing to me was going into the program, realizing like, yeah, I can show up and take care of myself and find recovery and find people who can support me. And able to survive an international move, abstinent, and moving to a country where I didn't speak the language, and where there weren't OA meetings. I was living in New York, where there were meetings all the time, everywhere. It was very easy to go. But I couldn't really do that when I moved to Mexico. And thank God OA Footsteps had a Zoom meeting, which I knew how to do, and I could join in. I did not turn on my camera at first. I hid. And Alex was at my first meeting, you know, and she was very welcoming. And I was like, how dare she say my name? You know, you don't know I'm here. And then again, slowly getting to come back, building those relationships. Trust is consistency over time. I didn't need to like show up a perfect fellow, right? I could be scared. My fear could come with me. I could get comfortable, slowly turn on my camera, slowly volunteer or get roped into service. I never like thought like, let me do service. It was just, there was a need, and I can show up. And that is what's so different. When I was really, really sick, I compulsively led things so that I could see that you could see that I was fine and good. And yes, I just got voted in as the chair of OA Footsteps. I'll make sure my number's in the chat. If anyone wants to call or talk or has any questions, you can always reach out to me. And thank God it's not about my ego. I'm not like, I'm your chair, witness it. I'm so happy I can be of service, that I've learned how to use these Zoom things, that I don't know how to have to do it. That today I get to say, I don't know. That's fine. And that's okay. It's not scary and terrifying to be of service and to show up. So I get to just offer what I can. And I'm so happy to do that today. And last minute get to jump into this meeting and meet all of you. And I'm so excited to hear your questions. And I'm so grateful for these meetings, so that it's, and for all of you for being here today. I need all of you. And the newcomer is the most important person in the room. So look at all you fancy people being here today. All you important people. Thank you so much for showing up today. With that, I'll pass it back to Alex and put my number in the chat. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Cullen. That was so good. Just a reminder that this is being recorded. If you do want to speak out loud, you'll be part of the recording. So you're giving your permission to be part of the recording. I'm just posting that in our chat. So now we're going to have like a question and answer portion of this meeting. If you do have little antidotes about OA Footsteps, you're welcome to share. Please raise your hand. We'll try to keep it short, depending on how many people, because we do have quite a large meeting today. So try to keep it to about 2 minutes per question or share. And raise your hand or post in the what in the chat, and we'll go from there. So who would like to go first? Any questions or any Nancy, thank you. I was hoping you'd be first. Go for it.
Hi, I'm Nancy. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I don't, you know, I can't even put into words how grateful I am to Alex. And I think she has done so much work. And I'm not really familiar with you, Colin, but I love that you don't have to be perfect. You can say, I don't know. But it was me and Alex and I think one other person that was the first people that came to the first OA footsteps. And it was, we had been typing for a year without seeing each other. And I thought, oh, that's the best thing because I can hide behind the typewriter. But then I found out I couldn't type. And I, you know, I'm looking at my typing and I'm looking up at the screen and I'm not making any sense. It was horrible. So I would sit there and not say anything because I didn't want to embarrass myself about typing. And then she tells me about OA footsteps. And I thought, is this a place where you have to show yourself? And it was like, well, yeah, it's, you know, you get together. And I said, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can get out of hiding because I was, at that point, I was 90 pounds heavier than I am now. And she talked me into it. And she said, you don't have to turn on your camera. And I thought, oh, it's going to go on automatically. And then I'll have to turn it off and somebody will see me. And that. But when I saw Alex, who I started out with, and our other friend that was there, and I saw them, I could do nothing but turn on the camera. It was just after knowing somebody intimately by phoning and typing and never seeing them was amazing. And when we were three were together, and I'll end this up, it reminded me of the meetings I went back to 1970s, because that's when I started OA. It reminded me of a face-to-face meeting, that there were real people in real time. We may never get to hug each other, but we can send virtual hugs, but we get to know each other almost, maybe even more than we would face-to-face, because we get to see everybody at once, you know. And I don't know. It's just all you've done, Alex, is just amazing. I could never have done that, but you know, I was behind you all the way, but it's just been a beautiful thing. And I'm going to be celebrating my 2 years in October, I think it is. And you know, it's all about not having cravings for me. From the very beginning, my cravings have been removed. I was one of these people where it says it's either diminished or removed, and thank God it has been removed. And it's just been by the work of the program, the steps, my higher power getting me here in the first place, and the Zoom meetings. They're wonderful. Thank you, Alex, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Okay, Nicole, I'm so sorry. We will have to set time. We weren't quite sure on the timing of that. It'll be 2 minutes for share or ask a question, and we'll give our speaker 2 minutes. So go ahead, Nicole.
Hi, thank you so much. My name's Nicole. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm sorry I don't have my camera on. I have a bad internet connection. I just wanted to share that I'm one of the people that came through this pandemic, and I actually joined for the first time your Footsteps birthday meeting, and I had no idea about Footsteps at the time, but I had gone to OA in London after a long history, for as long as I can remember, of struggling with mainly a binge eating disorder, compulsive overeating, also bulimia, also anorexia. I had tried everything that we've all been and tried, you know, from every diet to every kind of alternative therapy to going through the UK health system to learning everything about nutrition, but nothing took away the compulsion. And I went to face-to-face meetings in London for about a year, but I have to say there was not a lot of recovery there. And it was very disheartening for me. People didn't share the way they share in footsteps. It was a lot of kind of, you know, kind of complaining about the events of the day and that kind of thing. And when I came back in online, I, you know, I played around with a few different types of online meetings, not necessarily footsteps. And when I found footsteps, I just, the first people that I saw were Alex and Cullen, and I just felt such warmth and such welcome. I've been abstinent since that day. And I went through the steps very quickly with a big book sponsor, because sponsors were short at the time, but it wasn't the route for me. I found a footstep sponsor. I'm still glad I went through the steps quickly, but now we're going at a slower pace. I'm starting my own meeting soon. I have a sponsee of my own. My abstinence feels super strong. My HP connection feels super strong. I use the steps every day to work through the problems of my day-to-day life that come up that cause me anxiety. And that ball of dread that's been sitting there for as long as I can remember, since I was a child, has melted away. And in such a short time, I see the promises coming true in my life. You know, I'm not scared of life anymore. Thank you. And I just want to say a massive, massive thank you, because I've really found my home in footsteps. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Welcome home, that's for sure. Next up, we have Althea.
I'm wearing headphones for the first time, and it's really weird. So I don't know if you can hear me. Yeah? Okay. I found a way by accident. I was just kind of looking around online, and I was looking at all this diet stuff, and I was gaining weight again, and I ended up on an OA, the OA.org site, and I was looking for a meeting, and I saw there was a meeting on Zoom, and it was coming up soon, and there was a contact person, and that was Alex, and I called, and we, I think, talked on the phone for about half an hour, and she explained a lot about what OA was about before I even came to my first meeting. And I went to that meeting, and that's 71 days ago, and I have been to at least one meeting every day ever since. So I kind of got, yeah, I didn't even mean to, but I started a 90 and 90. And I do meeting hop. And I've been to Australia and the UK and different places, but footsteps really does seem like home, because it's such a wide focus. And I know it's always going to be here. When COVID is over, footsteps will be here. When everybody else goes back to face to face, this will still be a place for me to come. And I am so thankful for that. And that means a lot to me. And my recovery is pretty good right now. I've had a couple of slips in the last 71 days, you know, but I'm abstinent. I have a good sponsor. I'm working up to step 6 now, so I'm on my way. And I've even got the privilege of being able to host a meeting. So I'm feeling really, really happy and thankful for having found footsteps, and for having had spoken to Alex that first day, because had she not been so welcoming, I'm not sure I would have even made the meeting. So thank you all very much. And thank you, footsteps people, for being here for me. I appreciate and love you all. Thank you.
Love you too. So glad you're here. Next in the queue, I got a private message from Caroline P. You are up next.
Thank you. I'm Caroline, compulsive overeater and bulimic. I just want to say a huge thank you to you, Alexandra. I think what you've done is inspiring and incredible. And I loved your share. I loved about, I've never heard that thing about maths being the music at the new, in music and angels and all of that. And then you called it geeky, but I just found that rather charming. And I know from having been involved in starting up one Zoom meeting during COVID, just the huge amount of work and the difficulties involved in that, and, you know, everybody wanting different things and negotiating that. And so, yeah, I'm just hugely grateful to you. And I'm also incredibly pleased because I didn't know about footsteps until recently. And there's something fantastic about being able to get meetings that are at antisocial hours for me. You know, when I'm in London, if I feel like a meeting at 11 o'clock at night, I can find something, whereas face-to-face, I couldn't find that. So that is a real amazing thing. And I've also heard a lot of people in fellowship who have come in during COVID. So this has all been an incredible silver lining to, you know, what's been a great tragedy. Anyways, I'm just going to leave it there, but I'm just really very, very grateful to you. And I love your enthusiasm and get go and all the rest of it. So it's great. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Caroline. We're so glad you're here. Mei Lan, you're up next.
Hi, I'm Mei Lan. I'm an addict. Thank you all for your service. And Cullen, thank you so much for your share. I had a question that if I'm not ready to like give up specific foods, and I feel like I know that I'm supposed to look at the similarities and not the differences, but I feel like I haven't ever hit certain points, such as like binging and purging or anything. Should I wait to be coming to OA meetings until I've really hit a point of desperation? Because I don't know. I just was hoping for some sort of advice.
And who do you want to direct a question to? You can
either is fine. Anyone?
Well, I'll start. I'm Alex. I'm a compulsive overeater. My best advice is just to keep coming back. It works if you work it, and just keep coming back. Like you'll hear the stories, you'll hear the shares, you'll feel part of something greater than yourselves. This is such a disease of isolating ourselves and cutting ourselves off from the solution, and it's just too easy to cut ourselves further and further away until we do get to that desperate stage. And I know in AA they talk about being at that lowest point before you'll hit recovery, but then they decided maybe that isn't the case. Like if you just decide you want it, you can have it at any point. So just listening and being a part of meetings and getting, you know, reading the literature and just doing the best you possibly can, something will just start to click, you know, and just keep coming back. You are your home. So Colin, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I'll jump in that. I think that's a really great question. I heard recently in a meeting, we practice when it's easy, so we know what to do when it's hard. And I think sometimes it's easier to receive when we're desperate and when we really need it, right? We're finally open. But I don't think there's any need to wait till you get there. I think you can go ahead, get the information, get the tools, right, as soon as you can, so that life is going to keep lifing, right? The hard will come, but you can go ahead and get the tools now and just build that family and that support system. And we're so happy that you're here. Welcome home. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Wonderful, thank you. I did see another hand up, but then it's gone. So Bill, I'm gonna do Amy first. She messaged me privately, and then you're right after that. So Amy, you're up next.
Hi, Amy, compulsive overeater. Alex, you were the very first person I talked to, and you told me, welcome home, you have a home. And I just started crying. I had been having so many problems I was in a deep depression for a year. I wanted to die. And I found this meeting, and I found you, and I found Jen. And you gave me hope, and you made me want to keep living. I don't mean to pour all that on you, but you did with those simple words, welcome home, you are home. Then I come across Colin. I hear this voice and this beautiful smile, and so friendly, so welcoming, and I thought, this is really, you know, something here. This is big. And anytime I heard Colin speak, it was like, everything's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. So thank you both so much for your service.
Thank you so much. I'm going to be bawling by the end of
these meetings, Alex. This is not good for my ego.
I know.
I had a problem with my higher power. So I was thinking, okay, so the whole universe, my higher power. And I showed this picture to Alex. I don't know if you can see it. So it's like the universe, real pretty picture, the galaxy with a star. And then I thought, okay, well, the OA Footsteps group is also my higher power. And she put that on the earth. And this sits on my desk. And I look at it every day. Thank you, Alex.
The things I do. My spare time. Okay. Bill's up next, and then we have another question in the queue here.
Hi, everyone. Bill, compulsive overeater from San Francisco. It's been wonderful stumbling on this meeting. I didn't know what a footsteps meeting was. Well, I still don't know. I'm still a little confused, but it sounds really lovely, and it's wonderful to see all the support you guys have given each other. I'm a little frustrated. I hate to even use the word newcomer because I've been in the program for several months and I'm still not getting it. I'm still relapsing, and I know a lot of it is willfulness. And it's frustrating also because I just celebrated 3 years in my original program, and I feel, thank you, I feel really strong about that. And, you know, I'm working a good program, and then at the same time, I'm, you know, what do you call it? Repetitive or something, relapser in this program. And it's really humbling to realize that. And I'm not totally sure why that is. I do have a sponsor. I keep thinking that I'll be able to manage it. I keep wanting to tell myself that. I keep thinking, well, if I just don't eat that, or if I just have a small portion. And I keep learning the lesson over and over that that doesn't work. But, you know, insanity is repeating the question or the situation over and over, expecting different results. So I just wanted to claim my seat and tell you guys I'm really grateful to be here, and it means a lot. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Welcome home, Bill. We are so glad you're here.
I love it that was, you know, don't leave before the miracle happens. Right. So glad that you're here.
I have a question in the queue for Colin. What did your step 3 experience look like?
That's a very good question. The way that I was sponsored is how my sponsor was sponsored, and she had me listen to a podcast where someone walked through the first 3 steps and read it in the big book, and I took notes. And part of it was she had me call 3 fellows and ask them about their higher power. Even before you turn your will over, kind of have to know to whom you're turning it over. So I think that was sort of the biggest piece of it for me. What that looked like was really defining or exploring and developing what kind of higher power I needed in my life. And I needed someone who was really, or I needed something that was really present and accessible and loving and could withstand infinite tantrums on my end, and being really specific about I needed comfort, because that's what I went to food for a lot, was comfort. Or if I felt scared, so I needed something that would come and hug me, really. And for me, it was what images, what feelings feel really strong. And there's a children's book I read when I was a kid, and an angel came and like picked up this boy and flew him around, and like that blanket and that angel and that love really resonated with me. I'm like, great, let me hire that let me hire that force in my life. And I love that you can write a want ad for your higher power, and you can fire your higher power if it's not working for you and get something bigger who can take it. And, you know, a lot of my fears were I'm going to be too much and just needing to expand and expand my higher power. So it's like, great. If I mess up a million times, I can come back a million and one, and that's okay. That's just the given. That was mostly what my higher power looked like, was really getting in touch with what do I need so that I can turn it over to something that I want to trust and I want in my life. And it's been wonderful. Great. When I go to
that
the doctor,
awesome
I
question.
Get scared and I'll whisper like, can you just please hold my hand right now? And it's all, I had to go get my COVID test and I just said a prayer and God came with me. It was wonderful. And I was fine.
I'm so sorry. I did not mean to interrupt you. I thought you were done. Okay. Next question. I think this is to both of us. So you can start, Colin, and then I'll do the next one. What is your favorite slogan?
Oh, no. There are so many. Do you have yours, Alex? Do you know?
I do, but I need to write it down. So,
okay. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is keep coming back, right? I just keep coming back. With whatever's with you, right? If I'm afraid, I can keep coming back. If I'm resentful, if I have a lot of I don't wanna with me, I can keep coming back. It's okay. And I think that's helped me stay in the rooms even when there's been a lot of change or frustration or ego, you know? Just keep coming back.
I love that one too. Okay, this is mine. And I think I made it up myself. I don't remember reading it somewhere else. So when it comes to binging, overeating, being triggered, it is my fault. It's pain, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. My fault. You know, and it makes me look at my own contributing factor to why I'm setting myself up to fall there. But that's my favorite. And the other is, I've got a bunch from my sponsor. One of my favorites is, if it's hysterical, it's historical, which I use a lot now because it helps me understand not only my own responses to things, but also responses around me. You know, if somebody's getting into a really quite a heightened state, then it's probably nothing to do with me. And it helps me step away from that a little bit. What's that? Yeah, you go ahead.
There's so many. But I also just love the let us love you until you can love yourself. I needed that in the beginning. And to be able to accept that love from the group, right? And be open up to it. Let us love you till you can love yourself.
Okay, I have another question. And we're kind of going to, I think this might be the last one. Are either of you available to sponsor at this time? You can go ahead.
I am not. I am available for phone calls, and I would love to support anyone in looking for a sponsor. I am learning about setting boundaries and what I can commit to. So it's hard to say no, but no, I have three sponsees right now, and then I'm So no, but I would love to talk.
Thank you. And I think I'm kind of in the same ilk. I'm not great with setting boundaries for the amount of work that I take on myself. And it's not fair to myself or to my sponsees. Okay, I'm getting it slowly but surely. Okay, and again, I'm always there. You most people can reach out to me for just about anything as far as program goes. But I really do have to kind of set some clear boundaries like that too. So I can't take any more sponsees on now, and I even have a few kind of on a waiting list even. So I don't want to, you know, kind of do too much in that way. So but I love being supportive of any way I possibly can, and by providing these meetings, by providing away footsteps, and being working as part of a team to make this all happen, I feel like we're helping hundreds and hundreds of people find recovery.
And so we do have an email you can contact. We can give you a list of available sponsors that we know of, and if you're an available sponsor, we'd love to add you to that list.
Exactly. Okay, so with that, I am going to stop this recording and just say thank you so much to Colin, and I'm just so grateful I had a chance to share about OA Footsteps, and we are